Hello and welcome to episode 52, entitled
65.
That's confusing.
We should really just put this off for a couple weeks and go ahead at 65.
That is hey, wait,
we should have, right? A little behind the curve because this did come out March 10th, and here we are mid-April talking about it, but it did just come out in video on demand.
Yes, and that's why we're talking about it, because that's how I saw it. I did not see this in the movie theater. It crossed my mind.
I if it wasn't for the terrible reviews that it got, I would have gone out of my way to see any sort of live-action dinosaur movie that isn't Jurassic Park, especially because, you know, I'm going to see those obligatorily, but it was enticing. I really liked the preview when I first saw it. I was like, finally, we're going to get a different sort of dinosaur movie. As it's so hard to pull them off, as we were talking about. What are the premises? Well, how have they used it in the past?
Right. Absolutely. That's the biggest challenge. Without stealing the plot from Jurassic Park, how do you incorporate dinosaurs into your movie and justify them? This was really creative in that sense.
Yes. 100%. I love this premise. Do you know that was the premise going into it? Because I thought the 65 was just the title, but I guess there is that subtitle of a million years ago, which is essentially Jurassic Park's tagline that they've now turned into the title of this movie. And that's not where this movie stops in terms of the derivative nature of it. set it up, because it's such a cool idea. I kind of haven't seen anything other than, Planet of the Apes does something similar. And the end of Battlestar Galactica does. Well, yeah.
Right. Sure. So the premise here is that there are, 65 million years ago, there are other civilizations outside of our own galaxy that, explore and travel. And, it's really interesting about this plot because it jumps right in. This movie starts off on a beach where a husband and wife, Adam Driver and his wife, are talking about him going away, and they show their daughter. They don't show anything about their planet showing any type of advancements.
One cool ass thing though was the way that their mountains are structured in the background of that opening scene. Granted, I hated this opening scene. I read an article where they suggested just starting it where the ship that he is the pilot of starts getting bombarded. Just get rid of all the sentimental BS at the top. What I did like about them showing his OG planet at the beginning was these really cool mounds that looked like waves. I had never seen any sort of structural. I don't know how that would have actually happened in terms of natural erosion or whatever, but I did enjoy that. I didn't give a crap about his daughter and wife, though. The entirety of the movie, obviously, wife.
Right.
Completely throwaway. He didn't think about her once during his travails.
You're right. No, you're right. But what I bring this up is that I thought it would be interesting to juxtapose, show that, because he crashes on Earth, right? We get that.
Yes.
So this is 65 million years ago where it's just dinosaurs. There is no technology. So I thought it would have been interesting, aside from his spaceship, to show where he and his people
are.
And advance and show some sort of backstory, and instead of just jumping into, now I kind of wish what you just said was the case, that we just showed them on the
because
the spaceship,
it was superfluous. Because it wasn't necessary, and it really kind of set a boring ass tone for me. And I'll say even before that, when we just have the space shots, the moving into where he does exist sort of thing with these kind of cheesy web microscope. Galaxies that we're seeing. All of the CGI at the beginning, the space CGI was horrible in my opinion. Looked like it was straight out of a video game. I wasn't buying any of it.
I agree.
Alien, that stop motion of Star Wars does it where you got the models over this any day. I just was not on board with it until he was on the planet, and then I started to have some fun.
Right. Then there's some... I completely agree because... The shot of his ship looked stock,
image
or video. And the thing that really bothered me was that Adam Driver's character he's the pilot. That is established. The rest of the crew or whoever he's shuttling that he works for, they're that they're paying him three times.
Right.
They're all in a hypersleep, you know, extend. Yes. So Adam Driver stays awake the entire time. They don't even talk about that, do they?
Yes. Well, I mean, they mentioned that it's going to be 2 years gone for him, but ultimately why they're paying him so much is because he's going to have to exist those 2 years cognizant while the rest of everyone gets to skip it by being cryogenically froze.
Then I totally missed that because I was probably bored by the opening scene on the beach.
You know what? It took me this. I had to be told that the daughter was sick, and that's why I was doing it, because I was so, like, unimpressed at the beginning. But that is something we can't leave out, is that his daughter is suffering from some unknown affliction.
Right.
And this is why he's willing to go 2 years, so he can get the sort of money to give her treatment.
Right. Yes, and they talk about that they're paying him three times as much. And I guess I must have just, I mean,
it's just stock. It's a stock
exposition.
Plot
it's
point.
It's
set up. Nothing
yes.
unique about it at all. Yeah. And you know, back to your point when it comes to the originality, because I do want to give them the props on the idea of other beings hitting Earth before us humans actually existed here.
Where I love that.
I draw the line, perhaps, but like. Where I struggle is that man would evolve elsewhere in the same manner, or their sentient
sure.
being from elsewhere would be comparable to this, unless they had a grander plan in mind. Kind of like, I don't know. You know, we're talking the origin of man sort of stuff that they could have into. But it's hard to just, it was hard to glom onto, okay, man looks like our man. From another galaxy entirely.
Humanoid, yes.
Yeah. I struggled with that.
I hear
you. How you get around that, honestly. But...
No, I hear you on that. And that is definitely one of those major, like when you really think about it, major plot points that you're like, well, the audience, now they're just telling us like, well, the audience is just going to believe it, you know?
Right.
Like, because it is such an original idea.
It is.
They could have, I guess... assumed that the audience is like, well, if it's only going to take them 2 years, then they really aren't that far away. So maybe we do share some sort of, you know, something from the Big Bang that would create the same evolution. I don't know.
Or suggest even that one of those cryogenically frozen people fell into the tar pits or something and then led to a genesis of man from this event to begin with. I don't know. I feel like there was, you know, things they could have inspired that would have given it a little more gravitas.
Yeah. No, you're right.
It's cool.
Here's some things though that may have seemed clever, but even like as I'm watching it, I mean, I put it together really quickly that the same asteroid that he's running through is also going to be the same thing that kills the dinosaurs. I mean,
right.
Like. So, yeah, his ship goes down, right? His ship goes down, and everyone dies except him and a little girl. Very convenient.
Right. And
this is the moment I'm going to put on my nerd glasses that explain how...
65 is not the right title for this. As I've done some research here, and apparently, the end of the Cretaceous, when the asteroid hit... Oh, you can see my glasses fogging up here. I'm getting so excited.
It was 66.6
million years ago. Oh. And if it was actually 65 in which he went back to, the dinosaurs would already been dead. And there would have been fairly large mammals already populating our planet. So I call bullshit right off the top. And not only in terms of time, but we're going to talk about the dinosaurs. I guess we can do that a little more in depth as we go talking about the sequences.
So what type of mammals would have started evolving from the dinosaurs?
Well, honestly, it's something you would mostly see if you were dropped 65 million and not the 6.6 when the asteroid hit was a lot of turtles, a lot of birds. And then there would be tapirs sort of thing, like pig-ish. Sort of stuff would have them all,
gross.
You know?
Right.
These are sort of mammals, but not obviously, not getting to elephants or mammoths at this point. Nevertheless.
Right.
Okay,
yeah,
and here's another little tidbit time-wise. Even if he were dropped 66.6 million years ago, right before the asteroid hit, there wouldn't have been a lot of dinosaurs in the area in which that hit. It would be really infrequent, according to the paleontologist that I was reading. And you might run across a couple herbivores. We don't see a single herbivore in this whole movie,
you're right.
But the likelihood of him running into one carnivore, let alone an hour 90 minutes worth of carnivores, is far-fetched. That being said, this is a Hollywood movie. So
right,
we gotta
Shut up. Here, I'll tell you, I mean, just even from, like, I appreciate dinosaur movies, but here's something that I remember when Jurassic Park first came out, is that everyone was like, there's no such thing as the Velociraptor. And there is something similar to it, right? But the thing that bothered me about this movie
Velociraptor. It just doesn't look like the Jurassic Park Velociraptor.
Right. It doesn't look like it. So the thing that bothered me about 65 was that they kind of just plucked the things that they liked and that people know from Jurassic Park and plopped them in here, like your T-Rex and your Velociraptor-esque dinosaurs.
Well,
but I want to
talk about, because one of the other interesting things about that time is this is right before the dinosaurs hit, is a time when they really have the least amount of fossils. And some of these dinosaurs in it are not identifiable. They're not really anything that's real. There are some, but I hear exactly what you're saying. One might think that the small little raptor-esque things are velociraptors, but they're probably Deinonychus, which are, you know, that actually existed, and supposedly they did exist in that area. The trouble is with the Deinonychus is that they existed 80 to 70 million years ago, so they would not have been alive at this time.
Right. That's what I mean by, like, plucking things that they liked. And,
right.
And you're right. These were much smaller smaller than the Velociraptors that you might know from Jurassic Park.
Our movie Velociraptors were bigger than they were supposed to be. Velociraptors are actually more the size to the ones that we get in 65 in real life. But these, what I read, are more akin to the Deinonychus.
So let's get into some more dinosaurs then, because we're here. I kind of appreciated the it was like a mass amount of them. The dinosaur that might be the closest to like a crocodile or an alligator or evolve into a snake even. So these guys, I liked
them. You're talking about the Nothosaurus, I think. So the ones that are about the size of man, right? They're about our size. And there was the big sequence where he falls from the tree. I mean, dislocates his shoulder, and then they get this onslaught of these really interesting, I thought. I love the design of these ones.
That's what I'm saying.
The closest thing to them is something called the Nothosaurus. That this dinosaur does not exist in the JP world. We haven't seen it before, and that's why I like it so much.
Thank you. That's what I'm getting at. It's like, some liberties here and invent
exactly.
some...
Exactly. No, I completely agree. But they didn't invent it. Supposedly, this one is legit. And these, unfortunately, lived almost 300 million years ago, though. So they were not happy there either. Nevertheless, supposedly these are the dinosaurs that evolved into plesiosaurs, which people are probably more familiar with, you know, the water dinosaur, because these nothosaurs are supposed to be one of those dinosaurs that was both land and water that kind of like shifted. The change, the evolutionary change. But
they
were
cool and they were scary. They were scary. And again, I hadn't seen those on screen before, which is why I wanted more of it. Now, based off of everything you just told me, I am going to take my own liberty here and suggest that Beck and Woods, the guys who wrote this and directed this. Quiet Place guys who know monsters. I'm going to take a leap here and say that the studio probably said, no, we want things that look like velociraptors. We want T-Rex. Put those in there. And I bet you they ran into a lot of that. Like, this isn't scary. Because, you know, these guys are very creative filmmakers.
Right. Yeah.
You would think that they would want their own original stamp because their plot is original.
I completely agree.
I'm telling you right now that there's some studio meddling going on here.
Well, supposedly there was multiple scripts. Like, this started with one draft and then it became another. It sounds like a Jurassic Park 3 situation. So I think you're absolutely right. This is known for its production hell. It dealt with a lot of COVID problems too, timing wise. I think that probably ruins what could have been so cool, because in theory, this has the makings to be really awesome.
Rancid, yeah, you only got the two characters.
So in terms of characterization and interpersonal dynamics that could be built, you have your very stereotypical helpless youngin who can't properly communicate with your action man, you know?
Kind of like the movie Logan.
yes, absolutely. It's just something we've seen a bajillion times. They needed some sort of other human element.
It just feels like the relationship here, like you said, is very familiar, very borrowed, and most recently, The Last of Us. You know, even though they've got the same language, they don't get along right off the bat, and then they turn into a father daughter.
Yeah,
just like every one of these other stories. Cliche. Yes.
I like Adam Driver. I want to talk about him in 1 second, but I do want to mention the girl, because her character I felt like was a little more interesting than his. I felt like he was very boring, and he's usually not. And he usually does create characters, but I felt like he was phoning it in on this one. Maybe because he was just so put off by how much change was happening to the script.
Could be.
What we have seen the girl before is young Gamora in Infinity.
I saw that. I looked that up too.
And I didn't mind her. I thought she did a pretty decent job given, you know, the limited sphere in which she was able to maneuver as an actress, you know. So
Yeah.
And then his daughter, I guess, she's kind of a big shot. She's been asked in a lot of things lately, Chloe Coleman. You see her all over the place in Big Little Lies, Gunpowder Milkshake. Residence. She's in the new Dungeons and Dragons, to Avatar Way of the Water. So that girl, she's on the hot list apparently right now.
Yeah, she's going places.
We barely saw her. We get these really cheesy moments with her in like these home videos that have
holograms.
The technology I want to talk about too. I don't want to go all over the place, but they have these weird, like, what do you call those? Polaroid? But those are vision. When you remember a kid, you put that
viewfinders.
It's like a video viewfinder machine sort of thing. And I don't know. Let's talk about Adam Driver here and why this wasn't something that he's going to be remembered for, I guess. Where did you stand on him? What's your favorite project that he's done?
That's a great question, because I feel he's the kind of guy, like, I've probably seen just about everything he's done. I think he's, you know, stands out for a lot of big performances. This was very reserved, in my opinion. Maybe because there wasn't as much dialogue, because the characters aren't really talking to each other. And, I don't know if I've got a favorite performance of his, but But say I'd remember him as from the Star Wars movies.
Okay, Kylo Ren,
and I do enjoy him. I think he has a very interesting camera performance presence, and I just didn't see it here.
No, I completely agree. I think I was reading how he's more in the vein of kind of these oddball late 70s, early 80s. Leading men like your Pacinos, right? They're not your normal dream boats. And interestingly, I was reading about like what he's known for in Girls is when he's first seen outside of his apartment is, I don't know, her blonde friend says something, wow, he looks like the original man. That's like a quote that the New Yorker uses the title for their bio on him, right? And I just found that given this is kind of like he is the original man on Earth in 65 sort of thing. I might have something to do with it. I liked him in Girls a lot. I'm not a huge Star Wars guy, so I really didn't care. But I did love the movie The Dead Don't Die, the zombie comedy. And that's probably my favorite thing. I think he's probably one of those actors you either love or hate sort of thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, necessarily I remember middle ground.
Really liking him in Black Klansman, too. I thought he was very...
I haven't seen that. I need to...
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Do you know his story about how he hit?
Was
I'm
a
sure
Marine.
He learned that he used to be a Marine. But more importantly, before he was a Marine, he tried that he wanted to be an actor. And he's from Mishawaka, you know, Wisconsin, above us. Chicago.
Yeah.
And he packed up his car. He drove out, and his car broke down in Texas. Spent almost all of his money getting it fixed to then get out there. Spent a couple nights in a hostel. Ended up walking around Santa Monica just like in a daze. And this is both of us have done. I driven across the country. Did you drive or did you fly when you went up to LA?
The first time I flew out there and I drove back. Yeah.
It's a drive.
It's a very long drive.
Multiple times at this stage. And
yeah.
It's a growth experience in a strange way.
Sure. It's like a vision quest.
It is a vision quest. Yeah, the walkabout on wheels, if you will.
Exactly.
And he gets to Santa Monica, walks around, just realizes, crap, I have $200 left after making it here. And that's the amount it's going to cost to buy gas to get home. So he goes home within 2 weeks and considers himself a failure and goes, joins the Marine, you know? You're not in the end, though, but I just found it really interesting.
Yeah.
We've all done that and come back years later, but he went back 2 weeks later. My gosh.
I mean, there's almost no way of moving to LA with like no money. The amount of money I had with me went to my first month last month, and then I had like nothing.
Yeah. I think I went out with like 4 to 5 the first time.
Yeah.
And, you know, that was the year round. But then the second time I went out with more, and that lasted 3.5 years. So there's.
It really is.
Need human connection in, what do you call those? Season. Speaking of
which,
Another thing, which it would have been crazy hot on the Earth at that time. Like, the low temperature every day would have been 82. So we didn't see them sweat enough, and we didn't see enough bugs, apparently. We did see a couple.
Yeah, and we see the one bug on his neck, which was disgusting, but... You're right. I was going to ask you, where do you think he crashed? Do you think he was, as far as like Pangea goes or whatever, you think he may have been in the Americas? Because
definitely in North America. And if you're suggesting that asteroid is kind of headed directly toward him, which I'm going to, the likelihood is like upper Mexico, you know, because that's where the asteroid hit.
That's where it hits.
Like that meso-North American blob. Granted, like you said, it is all connected at this point. But yeah, and there are people talking about how it really doesn't look all that much. It was filmed in New Orleans and Oregon. And having been, like, when I was actually at your wedding, going from Portland up through... to Seattle, seeing a lot of Oregon that I hadn't seen, it was like a prehistoric place. I feel like Oregon was a great spot to be doing that. But I also read British Columbia in real life is what would look like where he was supposed to be more than any other place.
Right. So. That's kind of what I was thinking as well. And the thing that bothered me is like that they were double downing on those like, not hot springs, but
geysers.
Geysers. Yeah. Which I'm like, so are they supposed to be in like near Yosemite because those still exist? But I don't know. You're right. I remember like from school and everything when we talk about like the asteroid, it was like New Mexico, Mexico area where it like hit. And,
When I'm watching it, I don't care about any of that sort of accuracy.
Sure.
I don't really need accuracy in something like that. I didn't know.
No. I agree.
I do need is good characterization and some sort of urgency other than what we got, I feel like. I love a good survival horror, but I just didn't feel like just the whole plan to get to the escape pod was enough to make the whole movie. You know what I mean? It was just an excuse to use dinosaurs, and I can't lend for that because I want to watch dinosaurs with a tree. Any chance I get, I don't know. I just feel like... was so shallow. They could have used a little.
Yeah, and think about it from a writing point of view. So they chose to make this a really urgent film. You know, you have this asteroid that's coming towards them. But more so than that, they probably didn't want to have to answer questions like, how did they eat? What did they eat when they were... Because they talk about the berries, and that was the one thing that seemed poisonous. But... Very, I mean, the water, he starts drinking water. He's got the thing that I guess must have measured it to tell him it was clean.
Is that what was going on with that tech? Okay, because I was really confused why he was drinking out of a rectangle. You know, it was really weird.
Yeah.
Bison. He was, okay, I like that.
That's... He put the berry in there and then he made that joke, like, don't eat. And I also wonder if he did it to kind of like get a reading on it. So I kind of feel like they chose to do this in a more urgent phase because say that they were here for a longer period of time, what do you eat while you're there?
Right.
Right?
Here's the question. Dinosaur? Does he even bother
if he doesn't find her alive? Does he care to survive without the connection to, oh, I miss my dying daughter. She's my makeshift daughter here. does he give a crap otherwise?
I don't know.
No, because, well, we see a moment where he almost takes that blaster to his head.
Right. Okay.
So we've got this idea that the only reason he stings alive now is because he wants to see this girl survive and have a chance and be there for her because he wasn't for his own daughter, which is, kind of just devastating storyline. So you have all that going on, which is, you know, the interesting part of the story. But what the audience is really there for are the dinosaurs. And I think that this movie had a tough time juggling both.
Yeah. I agree.
You know,
it might have been too many dinosaurs, and I never thought I would say that. But I could have used a little more interpersonal dynamics and maybe even a little more lighthearted moments because the few that were peppered in, I love, but it wasn't enough that it made totally it feel incongruent. You know what I mean? Like, specific moments, like when she saves him from the quicksand pit. And he's like, thank you, just like hilariously because he was just practically dead. And then when she essentially saves him by tying the rope all ridiculous around the tree so he could climb it.
Yeah. Was that supposed to just be like a funny, cute moment? Because I was just like, that's...
Like, they seem so out of place, though.
Whatever.
You know what I mean? Like, I've been okay with that if their relationship had evolved. I mean, they did it a little bit with the... When he smacks the bug on the back of his neck and it glues and he's touching things. She's laughing at him. And she kind of mimics the things that she says. For some reason, I don't know if the chemistry between the two actors was there. Maybe is what it boiled down to.
Could be. I don't know how many films Adam Driver's done with children, but maybe that was a thing. Like, maybe they didn't know how to direct that. Maybe he didn't know how to, I don't know.
Can you imagine
I understand.
Young woman having to deal with this really intense method actor. That would be weird. I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't envy her that. And especially,
I mean,
when it made so little money. So let me talk numbers here. Cost $90 million. Because of where they filmed it, they got $45 million tax rebate.
Right.
And as of the 10th, it's made $55. So it's made about $10 million. I could have seen this having more... Right. They could have been a world to build off of this, but not when you only made $10 million a night. You know?
Right. They're not going to get a chance to do another one. And...
Does it hurt his, momentum that he currently has? No.
I don't think so. But it's a very great question. Like, as you started this podcast by saying, could something like this, doing a dinosaur movie, make or break? But I don't know. I mean, Michael Keaton was telling a really interesting story about back in the day, he was having this conversation with Jack Nicholson, who said, you know, you can do so many movies that are really good and then do some flops, but they'll forgive you. And it's not like that anymore. You know, you can't do...
No.
You can't do a flop.
Easy. Dime a dozen, these actors, now. They don't... You can't. You gotta be consistent. If you don't mind, let's jump back and talk a little bit more about the other dinosaurs that we see. We have one in it that is just completely baseless. And it's the one that they saved from the tar pit, this little baby dinosaur.
Right.
A lot of people online are talking about how it looks like something out of Camp Cretaceous, the cartoon version of Jurassic Park that's now on Netflix, which is awesome, by the way. Anybody loves it, don't miss it, because it's worth it. But the one that they pull out of there literally has the front of a T-Rex and the back of an Ankylosaurus. And then in Jurassic Park, this Camp Cretaceous, there's a lot of the inbreeding, or not inbreeding, but hybriding that they do in the Jurassic World series. So this is what they call a Trankylosaurus. And like you had mentioned before, I think they had this awesome idea of creating all these dinosaurs that were recognizably dinosaurs, but their own, which would make so much more sense to differentiate if it did hit in terms of toys, you know? Because
Jurassic Empire makes so
much money off of the merchandising. And I think it might have been a huge mistake of the producers if they were steering toward do a, you know, Velociraptor, like you said, so people know what it is, because they didn't do it with that one. And they also really, really made something unique with our big boy, our big one, which I'm assuming you would take to be a T-Rex.
Right, you would assume so, but it probably wasn't, right?
Definitely, it definitely couldn't be, because the arms, do you remember the arms? It was essentially a quadruped. So it was able to walk on all four. T-Rex can't do that. T-Rex has these little baby arms, everybody knows. And the T-Rex only had two claws, and this thing had three claws. So the Giganotosaurus, as we saw in Jurassic Park Dominion, has three claws, but it also still has baby arms. So there's nothing right now in the fossil record that is comparable. The only thing I could find that's a little bit close, because it has a little bit longer arms, I don't think it could run on these arms the way this one did, was something called a Chilenotosaurus, which I guess is only in any sort of fictional stuff in some like Japanese kids book. But when I looked at the fossils of it, it did have longer arms. It was roughly the size of the T-Rex, but this thing doesn't exist, which I'm okay with, because I love watching it run the way it ran, like a big T-Rex dog, you know?
Right. But you know what's interesting, as you're saying all of this, and I'm running through my head, like, through the movie again, and what if this wasn't Earth? What if we just assumed it was Earth?
I think they explicitly put in the title cards that it's Earth. I think they should have left it ambiguous.
They should have left it ambiguous.
For some reason, I want to say that it was explicit.
Well, that's just a really interesting question to pose, because then they could take all the
They should build their own world with it. But then you can't call it 65. I think just the stupid name of it locks it into being Earth. That's another thing I wanted to ask you. What do you feel about movies that are numbers?
I think they can be confusing. It's
terrible idea. Personally.
I think it's ballsy. Yeah, I think it's ballsy.
I don't know. Six 15 of 65.
You're gonna do what? You know what I mean? It's just like not conducive to getting buzz, to getting word of mouth. I feel like I'm trying to think of other movies that are just the number, like this one, just 65, that hit. Can you think of a single big time movie with just the number?
You possibly.
I mean, you got a Hateful Eight, but there's Hateful there. I feel like you need an adjective with.
Give me a second to.
Of course.
Just to confirm this.
Okay.
But if memory serves me right, Chadwick Boseman played Jackie Robinson, and the name of the movie is 42, because that was Jackie Robinson's number. Now, I will say this, though. Knowing it's a baseball movie, that's Jackie Robinson.
That makes more sense,
Yes.
There is also that really cool CGI. I can't remember what the number is. Nine? I think it's nine. That is a really cool CGI. I'm going to give that one credit. I'm not sure.
Yeah.
Banked, but I loved it. But I still feel like you got the baseball association, fine. You got a kid's movie, all right. But I just don't feel like adult action movies should be about, you know, sci-fi. And like you had pointed out early, you can't really tell what genre it's trying to be. I mean, here we are talking in all the horrible things, and it certainly has horror elements in it. Did you jump at all?
No.
I did.
The closest I got to was seeing the weird dinosaur on all fours.
That was cool. There is, like, I think really the only jump scare, but for some reason I just didn't see it coming, is before he even has the girl, he is on, like, the cliff, and he's looking down at other dinosaurs down there.
Right.
And then the one Deinonychus, like, jumps in his face. My neighbors heard me scream. The very, very happy scream that I swam. in that moment, but the rest of it, not so much. And I felt like our big action sequence at the end was too drawn out. I like the geyser ripping off the thing's skin, though.
Oh, that looked cool. That's where all the money went, just to that effect.
I completely agree.
Out of curiosity, while you asked that, I pulled up a list of movies that are just numbers.
Oh.
And there are a couple more that we forgot about, that, like 54, which was Studio 54, but also, you know, a number to something that was popular in the 70s. There's Rob Zombie's 31, which are the 31 different killers. And then there's the obvious one that we totally forgot about, which was 300.
We're getting low. But it did make money. You're absolutely right.
It made money is the point.
It did make money. You're absolutely right.
And then there's some other movies that are named after years. And 1941, 1984.
There's a lot of good ones
with
adjectives. But in 1984. Yeah. But that's a year. And this, I guess, you make a good point. The ones that did do pretty well, I think it's a number that is so affiliative in a way that,
the only way
65 is if you're a big dinosaur nerd or... we're alive when Jurassic Park came out to see it on the poster, 65 million years in the making. I don't know. I think, I don't subject myself to a lot of opportunities to watch commercials, but did you see a lot of publicity for this?
No, just a handful of maybe small TV ads. And certainly I looked up the trailer online once I had heard about it, cause I was curious. And I think the trailer's far better than the movie.
Yeah, I completely agree. One interesting fact about this puppy, though, was that Danny Elfman was supposed to initially do the music. And
really?
And guess
that would have been a very differently...
Oh, it would have been so much better. I think totally it was supposed to be something completely different.
You know what I mean?
It was supposed to be a little more like ooh, magical, whimsical, sort of spooky, scary.
Sure.
You know, almost, I could see if Tim Burton got his hands on the script and did something with it, that would have been badass. If he then took liberties with what dinosaurs are in the way they only dabbled in. But I guess because Sam Raimi was one of the producers, he has such a good relationship with Elfman.
Yeah.
Elfman was on board at first, and then this guy named Bacon kind of took over. And I guess Elfman maybe helped on a couple of the tracks, but really... I wonder if he just saw the writing on the wall with it and was like, I'm out.
Yeah. I still think that this movie was supposed to be, like you said, kind of like a different movie tonally. But I'm thinking the studio got involved here and changed what Beck and Woods were trying to do. And I don't know. It's disappointing because it had all the right ingredients, you know?
I completely agree. Another issue I had with our pseudo T-Rex was that they make this thing really vindictive, right? So this thing is like, after Adam Driver ultimately shoots him in the cave in the eye, blinds him in the one eye. It's stalking in for the rest of the movie. And that's just not what an animal would do, you know?
No.
And plus, I read like how much a T-Rex would need to eat a day, and it wouldn't really bother with a human. T-Rex needs a man and a half a day. So it's not going to bother spending all of its energy trying to catch this one dude, you know? It's going to go find some big herbivores to chomp on to stay fed. So I don't know. I think you got to go whole hog if you're going to kind of like anthropomorphize these dinosaurs instead of just this one that has the, revenge plot, some plot. The other cool dinosaur that we got to see, and it was the last dino I'll talk about, there's a pterodactyl-like thing called the Stegopterus, which I enjoyed, but again, it doesn't have the same sort of urgent awesomeness that pterodactyl seen in the first Jurassic World. You know, they're just on the beach.
Right,
it kind of feels like a prehistoric planet moment. But the Oviraptor in the cave was cool. The Oviraptor is something you've seen very briefly in Dominion when they have the two dinosaurs that they're having them fight each other.
Yeah,
I thought it was cool because Oviraptors are kind of omnivores, so there's a chance that it would have been like this, but it doesn't have the same sort of serrated teeth that normal ones do. And when it like bit down on its arms, it was kind of like more of a beep sort of deal. I enjoyed that tussle, if you will. What I didn't like is his stupid contraption hologram-wise. Last thing I think we should talk about is the tech, as you mentioned.
Yeah.
He has this big clunky thing that looks like, I don't know, like a mini DVD player from back in the day that you'd bring on an airplane.
Right.
Stupid little hologram coming out of it. And he can tell what things are from afar with it. I just, when he's got these really cool magnetic bomb things.
Yeah, right.
It just seemed anachronistic in he has a gun that can, you know, essentially a laser gun, right?
Take down a
sort of
T-Rex.
But then they have these really clunky video devices, like with his, whatever that device is he's carrying. And then, of course, as mentioned before, when you see these viewfinder videos that Koa, the girl, is watching when he's not looking, so she understands he has a Potter and cares about it. No.
Right. And there's also a moment early on when he realizes that they don't speak the same language, and he talks about how he has a device that would translate, but it's broken.
I'm going to curry. And I'm going to draw you some pictures and the curry that I spread out on the table. That was weird.
Thinking about him lying to her about his parents being alive.
I think it was only okay because they didn't speak the same language. If he just straight up said, we're going to meet your parents, and she understood, although she kind of interpreted it that way. I don't know. I mean, I guess he was just trying to do the right thing and save her, but...
Yeah, I didn't need to see her because otherwise she's going to be distracted by that the whole time. At least he had her kind of in good spirits and was able to control her more than he otherwise would. There was one really funny moment. Where I guess they're separated, but the Deinonychuses are after her again. It's right before she's tussling with it in the log, which is a ripoff of Lost World, too. I don't know if you remember, she's like a hollowed out log.
Yeah.
But there's a bug on the tree.
Yes.
It's like fingers wraps around the chunk and just pulls it. It reminded me of that one we watched with the Red Caps. For me, it looked like a hand.
Oh, right.
The Red Caps from there, our Irish.
Yeah.
It was just so uneven. But I still had a lot of fun with it. I did. I'm not going to be watching it again, probably, until I forget that I've seen it or something. I have dementia. But I enjoyed it. I don't regret watching it. I'm not going to recommend it to any people who aren't obsessed with dinosaurs, but...
I will say this. Do you think you would have enjoyed it more if you saw it on the big screen?
Yeah, for sure. That's
right.
No, I would.
Right. So that didn't help. That didn't help us.
No. And I watched it. It was still light out. Took away a lot. So.
Yeah.
Yeah. You got to think, always think of the grain of salt. And if you have the facility to rent a movie theater, watch it. Do it that
way.
There you go. The only way.
Do it that way.
Until then, stay alive.